Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Delicious Talk. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. If this is your first time ever tuning into my show, I'm an author and a poet. I have two books published. My first book, What's Past Is Not Forgotten, and You Might Get Lucky, are both on sale. You can get them at my website, which is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com. Okay, and I also co-host a couple of blog talk shows on the weekend as well. One is Chocolate Coffee Books, which airs every Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Sunday, Lamont Carey's show. Tonight, my guest co-host is Penelope Flynn. She has her own blog talk show, which is blogtalkradio.com, Penelope_Flynn. She's also a book reviewer and an author. Are you there, Penelope?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Our tonight's show is sexual practices you may never have heard of, and trust me, there are some I haven't even heard of. Penelope, you're going to have to educate me on some of these because there are some that I have never, well, I guess I know about them, you know, about them being practiced or whatever, but I never knew the names of them, you know, because they...
Yeah, exactly. The same thing with me. Some of this stuff, it's like, I didn't know I had a name.
Right.
Just doing
I've heard of teabagging, autoerotic asphyxiation, but these others, I can't even pronounce them. Snorkeling, but, you know, we just...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the thing. The snorkeling thing was the thing that got me. And several weeks ago, what is it, Eric Massa, who was in Congress, had this issue where someone talked about him snorkeling someone, and I had no idea what that was. In all honesty, I had no idea, and I looked it up. It's like, okay, you know, people are doing stuff out there all the time. Obviously, I have no idea.
Right, can you explain to our listening guests what snorkeling is?
Yeah, this is the thing that was so incredible. The reason, like I said, we read about this thing with Eric Massa, and we looked up snorkeling, and snorkeling is like a form of teabagging, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what it is the person who is, I guess, the snorkeler or snorkelee, I don't know what you want to call him, they put their genitals on another person's face, but their scrotum on their eyes and their penis on their face, so it looked like, you know, like a snorkel.
Oh my goodness! And what
and
is the enjoyment? What is there any type of sexual gratification from doing that, or what?
Well, yeah, they say it's kind of like the whole concept of teabagging, you know, like, you know, putting a man. Throw them in someone else's mouth or on their face, which is why the snorkeling thing is kind of like associated with teabagging. And sometimes it's involved dominant, submissive, sexual acts where it's a humiliation type of thing where the person gets off on being humiliated by having someone's, you know, scrotum, you know, in their face, or the other person may get off it to someone. I mean, I've had, you know, I guess about a year ago or so on the show, a guy was telling me, you know, that he liked, you know, to, you know, suck on his balls. He said it felt good to him. So
Wait a minute, he liked to suck on his own balls?
Oh, heck no. Like a woman to suck on
his
balls.
Oh, because I was going to say, my goodness, that's really...
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, that would be really... That would be very, very flexible.
Yes.
But he said that he liked that, so maybe some people like that. Maybe it stimulates them to rub, you know, their scrotum on someone else. Maybe that's just sensitive enough that actually does something for them.
Wow. That is really something. Now, there's another one on here. Pompoir, am I saying that right?
Pompoir, yeah. Now, I thought that was interesting. When I looked at that, that's one of the things that I had never heard of before. I mean, it's something like, of course, you're probably saying, well, you know, I do that anyway. But I never knew it had a name. But, I mean, also didn't know that it had, you know, rules and stuff like that, you know, that it's an art. The pompoir is, they call it playing the flute, and it's the practice stimulating the man's penis solely through the use of a woman's vaginal muscle. And, you know, unlike when you're having intercourse where everybody is moving, in pump, both parties are still. And, you know, man enters the woman, and then she just does her, you know, goes to work, you know, working those muscles. And they used to call it milking him, you know, in that.
Oh, okay. Well,
But that makes me think, like, wow, you know, that's something that I like to do as part of, like, the tantric sex.
Yeah.
You know, formula that you're supposed to be, you know, working your, you know, learn how to work your stuff and really squeeze and manipulate, and it's kind of like a...
Hello? Penelope? Hello? What in the world happened? Oh, my goodness. Blog Talk is tripping. Let's see. Hello? Penelope? Well, we're going to take a little musical break until Penelope can get back on the phone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I took a little break because I couldn't hear you.
I have no idea what happened. I could. How far did I get before I fell out?
Well, I think we were talking about the
Pompoir, you know, playing the flute.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I was saying it's supposed to be like a rippling effect, a rippling pulsing of your pelvic muscles. Now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, okay, you know, it's like the rippling sensation, say, in order to contracting your vaginal muscles to massage and milk your partner.
I didn't know it was called pompoir.
Well, that's what I was saying. I didn't know it had a name. I mean, but I'm sure that, you know, I haven't quite got, I do my thing, but, you know, I had no idea that there was a technique to doing it. You know, maybe, something else that I don't know. And I don't like the fact that somebody's out there doing something I don't know. I consider myself knowledgeable. I'm sure you're like me. You know, somebody's out there doing something that I don't know about. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think there's something out there to be done. I certainly want to learn how to do it and do it right.
Yeah, that's true. Because if we're going to do it, we need to know how to do it right. And if we've already been doing it, it is good to have like a name to it. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you can tell your partner what you want.
Right, right. Instead of, can you do this? Do what? You know, give me a little.
Yeah, what that thing, you know, you were doing. And so, yeah, you know, I want a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, give it a name, and the person knows exactly what it is you're talking about. And I think that's, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the one that I thought that was the most interesting that I read about, and it's called pegging.
Pegging,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a new word. And it's a sexual practice in which a woman penetrates a man's anus with a strap-on.
Oh, and that's called pegging?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just assumed that doing it with a strap-on.
Well, yeah, but they the term
now,
for the cut.
Oh,
they
so
said
if
that
guy
it was a,
says to you, I want you to peg me or do the pegging, but, that means
yeah.
to use a strap-on.
Right, right.
Like, oh, my goodness.
And they said it was a new word because it was a winning entry in a contest in Dan Savage's Savage Love Sex Advice column because there was previously no term for saying that.
Right.
And I think it's a good word, you know.
Right.
And
instead of saying, can I use a strap-on on you, or would you use a strap-on on me, you can just say, can you peg me?
Yeah. And also I think it's nice for somebody, especially men, to be able to have a word to say to just – you know, say, to do this thing. Because some men, I think, are a little bit cowed by having to say, could you use a strap-on on me?
Yeah.
You know, just to go to a woman and just, whisper, you know, hey, you're begging for her to say, well, yeah, you know, I can do that for you, you know, and just let it go. And because some things a little bit too descriptive might make people uncomfortable about asking for it, and especially if it's something that they really want.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that is really something. And let's talk a little bit about the autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
That is what David Carradine died
mm-hmm.
from, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And also the guy who did the girl in the park in New York.
Yes.
Casey,
yeah, years
that,
ago.
Yeah, that she had wanted him to, you know, choke her. Now, I can't... I don't know. Well, I've never tried anything like that, but I think that's a little bit dangerous because you may get to a point where you're just choking this person and you lose control.
Well, what the point is that the person who's doing the choking really needs, you know, to be doing this pleasure of the person who is being choked. And they should always be in control, and there should always be a safety word, you know, so that when it's enough, the person does a safety word, and you know, it's okay, it's time to stop. You know, and a lot of times people do things like this, and the person says no, and they say, well, you know, yes means no, or no means yes, or whatever. So you pick a safety word, you know, something that has no place, you know, in the bedroom, no place, you know, in your sexual activity at the time. So when you say it, the person knows that you are serious and you're saying it's time to back off. You know, like in the middle of sex, you know, you say radiator or broccoli, you know, or something like that, that would have nothing to do with that sex act, so they know to quit or know, you know, how many seconds you're supposed to do something like that. Because, you know,
right, because if his hands around the throat, gripping, cutting the air off, because I understand that's what it does. It cuts your air off for
yes.
a second or two until you have that euphoric orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
A person may not get a chance to say broccoli or stop or, you know, whatever.
Well, so yeah, but that's the reason why you know. And the problem is not necessarily the cutting off of your air. The problem is that when you're doing something like that, I mean, you really need to be with somebody that knows what they're doing. Do not
right.
do it by yourself. Do not be with someone who's just overexcited about doing this thing to you. I mean, you need to find, you know, someone who really knows what they're doing, probably a professional. You know, that's
right.
not something that you want to do with someone that does not know what they're doing. And the problem with a lot of people, if you take martial arts, you know, that you cut off the air, and that's one thing. And in the neck, that's the front, like your trachea,
mm-hmm.
and you cut off the air. On the sides of your neck, you're cutting off blood. When you're doing a chokehold, you either cut off the air or you cut off the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, basic chokeholds. Now, if someone is doing a chokehold, the sleeper hold, cobra chokes, things like that, they cut off both air and blood, and that's why they're very dangerous, because it does long when you cut off the air supply and the blood supply to somebody's brain to kill them
wow.
or to cause them damage. So that's a lot of people cause that because they wrap it around someone's neck and they pull.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing that, you're cutting off both air and blood at the same time. And they think, well, you know, I read some that it only takes, you know, it takes X amount of seconds, you know, before somebody caused damage, and I didn't do it for all that long. But if you're cutting the air supply and the blood supply to their brain, then you are causing that person severe damage. And that's why you should not do that. I mean, it's just, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You know, it's not something to do for fun, for trying, for kicks. You know, that's stuff for, you know, the sex professionals. You know, you don't
yeah.
just get out and do that.
Right, because it's just been hearing of different people actually dying from it, I guess, because.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine had told me one time that when people have orgasms, they're momentarily insane.
Well, I don't know about insane, but it's certainly
yeah.
momentarily incapacitated.
Yeah.
but I would think that, it's just the scariest thing is when people do it to themselves, and they try to
yeah.
do the thing of choking themselves, and if you mess up, there's nobody to save you. And, I mean, that's a really, really rough thing.
Yeah.
People who are embarrassed to find a partner, a knowledgeable partner to do it with, and they try doing this thing to themselves, and they can kill themselves. And a lot of people, remember back in the day, people would talk about, oh, so-and-so was hanging, you know, hung themselves in the closet and they were nude or something and thinking they were depressed or something like that. But really, what it was, the person was, you know, trying to masturbate.
Right.
Into this autoerotic asphyxiation. I mean, I remember that years, I mean, like 20 years ago, of people dying from, you know, stuff like this and people thinking that it was, you know, oh,
they were depressed or whatever.
Yeah, all these young men killing themselves.
Naked.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's just one of those things that you just, you know, if you can't find someone to do it with you, you know, knows what they're doing, just don't do it. I mean,
yeah.
you will end up, in the 11 o'clock news or something.
Yeah, yeah. And there also are some other ones that I've seen that I don't really know the name of them, but what is this when men like to ejaculate in shoes?
Okay, now that is, I think the ejaculation in shoes, this is a fetish. you know, that someone's, you know, fetish where they have, they become sexually aroused seeing an object, that it's not that they get off on, you know, a woman wearing the shoes or something like that, but the shoes themselves become the object of their sexual desire. So, I mean, I know that Otto and I constantly have, you know, arguments regarding fetish. And I don't think, you know, when someone says that they like women who are, you know, really, really obese, I don't find that to be a fetish. You know, I don't think it's an obese, it's a fetish. So it's they like women that are really, really skinny. You know, I think, like you in Auschwitz, you know, death camp skinny. I don't think that that's a fetish. I think a fetish is when your sexual ideals turn toward an object as opposed to a person. And, you know, I just, you know, what if a person likes sexually, you know, they like. If that's, you know, look at a woman, whatever, a man, whatever, they like, and that's their business. And it's just their choice, what is it they like. But I think when someone has an attachment to an object, then that's the thing that I think is fetishistic. You know, and I know, Otto, you might disagree, but, you know, that's what I think.
We're going to bring Otto on in a moment. Right now we're going to take a little musical break, and we'll come back and we'll have bring Otto on, okay?
Okay.
Take off your coat, I'll make you feel at home. Now let's pour a glass of wine, cause now we're all alone.
welcome back. This is Delicious Talk with Delicious. I'm sorry, I'm your host, Delicious, along with my guest co-host, Penelope Flynn. If you're just tuning in, the call-in number is 1-646-652-2877. And tonight's topic is sexual practices you may never have heard of. And with that being said, we're going to bring Otto in. Good evening, Otto.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. Okay.
I just finished coming in my shoe.
Oh, quiet.
You know, the last time I was on your show, Delicious, last time I was on your show, someone accused me of being a homosexual, so I'm going to be quiet.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, yeah, there were some weird people, man.
I'm going to chill tonight.
Oh, my, I am so sorry.
But it's not bad.
Yeah, we have.
Not bad,
it's strange.
It's
just strange.
Okay. It's okay. I'm just not, but that's okay.
Wow.
I mean, you know, for those who are,
that's fine with me. I'm all for homosexuality, especially in men. Because the more homosexual men they are, the more women for me.
I know that's right. Yeah, well, you know, people, that's their opinion, and you know what you are, so, it's not even a problem.
I know.
Okay, we're going to get on, what is frottage? Did I say that right?
Are you talking to me or to Otto?
No, I'm asking you, or if Otto knows.
I don't know, it sounds like something you do in the bathroom.
Penelope, can you tell us what frottage is?
Frottage is the act of male, it's like a male non-penetrative sex where two men rub their penises together.
Okay, so why you wait till I come on the show to say something like that, right? Didn't I just finish telling you about the... Okay,
go ahead. No, it's not directed towards you, Otto. We're just learning these
things. I'm just saying, why are you waiting to... Just go ahead, Penelope, say, talk about the frottage.
I'm just saying.
Two men rubbing sticks
together, make the sparks ignite. Isn't that the way the song goes?
Okay, mm-hmm. So two men rub their penises together, and what? Who's supposed to get in pleasure? Both of them, or?
Yeah, both of them. That's the whole point. I mean, some of this stuff is, you know, really, really, you know, interesting, because you know they say some of it, you know, they use special lubricants and, you know, stuff to, you know, get it on.
Well, that was what two guys were doing on the subway. That you can do that, and nobody will really know. I mean, you could. One guy could take his zipper, pull it down. Other guy could take his zipper, and a crowded subway, nobody will know.
Wow.
You know what? I mean, that's going a little far, don't you think?
No,
yeah.
True. You've been on a crowded subway car, Delicious.
Yes, I have, but I don't really think that could happen without me seeing it, because I'd be looking at everything. I'm nosy.
Delicious.
My daughter calls me the police.
All kinds of sex happens on a crowded subway in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, see, I don't even ride the subway. I can't remember the last time I've been on, but when I was in New York riding the subway, it was really crowded, and that was years ago. And the subway here gets crowded during rush hour. But I've never, you know, I haven't ridden on the subway in quite a while.
Well, you should ride it, because a lot of frottage going on.
Be quiet.
Woo, we have a caller. Let's see what this caller has got to say. 815-877.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, ma'am. I am here with my husband, Cecil.
Hello?
And we want to talk about our relationship issue, because my problem with my husband is that his cock is way too small.
Started that way.
And so I would like to start swinging and meeting other people that have a cock larger than 3 inches.
Wow.
And it's causing a lot of problems for us and a lot of tension in our relationship, because he thinks that he can, you know, that 3 inches is enough, but for me it's just not.
Well, listen, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, listen. Yes, we've had some issues, and we're thinking about swinging now. But my issue with her is that she needs to get to the dentist, and I'm not going to tell you what it looks like. I'm just going to say she needs to get to the dentist, and I'm trying to get that for her, trying to work up to that. Also, she's got a flat ass, and I want some round there. Is there anything wrong with me wanting some flat ass?
And is there anything wrong with me? Is there anything wrong with me wanting a big cock? I mean, I think I should go to a black man because a white man just isn't doing it for me.
That's not true.
Wow. Well, our show tonight is basically about sexual practices.
Well, he also likes men.
No, that's not true.
I think that he likes men because every time we're walking down the road, he's like, look at his cock. And if he didn't like men, why would he be pointing out another man's cock?
Because you keep placing so much emphasis on it all the time.
Well, he should be 3 inches. Gosh, would you be with a man that has a 3-inch cock?
Well, you would.
If he had a 4-inch tongue, hell yeah.
Let's believe that he doesn't have a 4-inch tongue, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, there's a lot of ways to get off other
honestly,
than
honey, that. Honey, sex is more important to me than my husband, and I can't deal with that.
I believe she's lying, because I have satisfied her. I make sure she goes first, things like this. You know, I make sure that she's treated nice. I bring in the flowers every so often without it even being Valentine's Day. So some of this is a little overboard because she's on the radio. But let me tell you, I please her, and we wine and dine. But, yeah, we're thinking about swinging because...
You can wine and dine, but when you're 69, if it's not good, then when you wine and dine it matter.
But you talk about, you know, swinging. I mean, have you all actually explored everything that there is to explore yet between the two of you?
I actually cheated on him because I wanted to see what it was like to be with... He was the first person I was ever with, and I wanted to see what it was like to be with a man that has at least 12-inch cock, and it was great.
So that's what brought up the discussion.
I'm sorry, you know what? You're a better person than I am because anybody with something like that, they need to go somewhere else. I'm not trying to win any awards. You know, I just want to have a good time. And if you're having sex, a 3-inch penis erect should be long enough to hit your G-spot if it is that you're doing it right. And that means that you probably need to deal with changing positions.
It sounds like we have two problems here. One, he doesn't do it right, and two, his cock isn't big enough.
You know what, though? I think, I'm playing a drinking game. Every time she says cock, I'm taking a drink.
That's what yeah. You
don't. Cock. You should be drunk by now, babe.
Absolutely.
I'm
no joke.
On my way home.
Hey, I'm sorry. What is your name, sir?
Otto.
I'm sure that you got more than 3 inches there.
Damn Skippy.
All right. So look. Back to the other issues, though. You know, I want a round ass, and she's working out. See, I love her. She loves me. We're not, you know, we got married because we love each other. So all of this has nothing to do with about leaving them or anything like that. You know, it has nothing to do with any of that. We won't leave each other.
We just want to bring more people into our bedroom.
So we're talking about bringing more in.
Are you sure? Because a lot of people say that. It sounds like a lovely idea when you bring it up. And everybody is all happy and thinking it's something really exciting. And then you get out there, and it's very, very different. Have you gone to an event or a party for swingers just to observe?
Well, no. I was just going to ask you. You must know because, you know, what's it like then?
Everyone's experience in this thing is different. And I'm thinking what you probably need to do is go somewhere and observe first because a lot of people think that it's one thing and you go there and it's going to be something else. So, you know, don't jump out saying that this is going to be the panacea and solve all the problems in my relationship because the great probability is that it's going to cause you more problems than it's going to cure.
From my perspective, we have 3 children together. We're very happy. We're together for the children. I'm not together for the sex with him. Like, I want the sex to be better, and I think that bringing another person into our bedroom is going to improve our sex life and therefore create a better life for our children because if we're together longer, our children will have a better home environment.
But it doesn't seem like he thinks the same way. I mean, this is something that you want to do, it seems, and that he is willing to do in order to placate you. And that's what
the relationship has always been about me. It is about me, and he can submit to me.
Well, if that's the case, have you thought of doing something more on the dominant submissive bent?
We tried that. He didn't talk.
It takes me off.
He gets so mad when I tell him to get on the floor and to submit to me.
Well, then I guess that doesn't work out. Yeah, because it doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for you. I mean, but I think that, you know, if as in this relationship, then the husband, wife, or however your partnership is, if one partner is doing it mainly to satisfy the partner, then I don't think this is going to solve the problem. It's probably going to make it worse. You don't need to figure out, you know, I think you need to go to the party and look and watch and see whether or not there's something you want to do, because you may find out it's not something you want to do.
My husband meets my emotional needs. He meets my spiritual needs, but he does not meet my physical needs. And so I think that if I meet somebody who would meet my physical needs and had my husband on the side, sort of, then it would be better.
I mean, even like that, even the way that you refer to that, to have your husband on the side, what it is that you have your husband who's the center of your relationship, and this other person is on the side. So even the way that you're thinking about this right now shows that there is a problem. So I need to center my relationship,
not my husband.
Well, ma'am, could you say cock again, please?
No, I don't think it's time for you to drink again, babe. You should already be drunk.
Damn it.
Okay, we have another call on the line, so do you want to hold on and I'll get back to you?
Sure. Well, hold on. Thank you.
Okay. Caller 757, are you there?
Hey, don't put them on hold. Bring them back on the line because I actually wanted to address them. Oh, my God, this is so good. I'm, like, just absolutely loving this conversation.
Okay, hold on.
Please put them back on the line because I just wanted to suggest something. And I also wanted to agree with Penelope. She had said something that to the matter of them actually going to check out the whole swinger scene and whatnot. I totally agree with that. And I actually think you should actually try it. If both of you are actually in the mindset where you can control your jealousy, where you can have your emotions under control. Because in situations like that, I think what Penelope actually pretty much summed it up, if you don't, then jealousy will come into play. That's going to create a whole other can of worms, and then, you know, it has dissolved relationships. And you guys did say you were married, right?
Yeah, we're married. As a matter of fact, you had pulled away there, and so I wasn't sure what was going to happen, so I pulled up her skirt, and I was starting to go.
And I will tell you, it was not pleasurable for me. Listen, I already met I already met a man that I would like to swing with, and the problem is I don't want to see my husband fucking another woman. I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, how fair is that? Come on now. Let's just think about this for a second. If you
Babe, life is all about me. My husband can submit to fucking me.
Say that again?
My husband should fucking submit to me. This is America. Women are equal with men.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But still, in that instance, if he is interested in sleeping with other women the same way that you're interested in sleeping with other men, then I think as a good dominant, if you are the dominant person in the relationship, it is your job to please your submissive.
Oh, I please him. He just doesn't please me. And that's not enough for me. Listen, I would divorce him tomorrow if it were my choice, and I would fuck every man that I would want to. The three children that we have are involved. And I don't care if they see other men in my bed. That's fine with me.
The money's too good. She would not leave.
He has so much money. He does. He is a multimillionaire. But we have children, and that's my only concern. Him? Fuck him. I could kick him to the curb tomorrow, but I have children involved.
Uh-huh.
Because his cock is too small.
I didn't say cock. Take another drink.
And also, it's like maybe his cock is small because his spouse is really loud.
Oh. I don't think he has problems with me being loud, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
Holy cow, I would. Damn. It's like he's right there. What the fuck are you doing yelling in his ear? Fucking chill.
Holy cow.
I'm at it right now.
But I think.
And I don't feel it.
What you said. What did you say your name was?
My name is Emily.
Okay. Well, Emily, I think that it
not her real name.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. I think that you guys probably should not try the swinger thing because of what she said. She would not be happy with watching you fuck another woman. And that
would join
it. Because...
Hmm?
She would join in.
Because a woman can please me much better than my man can.
Look, she's had some drinks here.
What is the problem? If that's the case, what is the problem? Why not go for it?
Listen.
I mean, even though, so you just don't like the idea.
My problem is that my husband would rather be with a man than he would rather be with me. He wants a cock up his ass.
He wants to do the, what do you call
it? Didn't we just talk about the pegging?
Not true.
Didn't we just talk about that? I mean,
yeah,
if that's the case.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. Panting. I don't
there's
want my children to be raised with a homosexual father.
That's not homosexual.
No, it's not. It's not. Penelope is absolutely right, because I know plenty of straight men that like to take it up the ass. There's nothing homosexual about it. I mean,
that's right.
They might not take an actual real penis, but they'll do like a dildo.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy a strap on and do him.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get a strap on. Maybe I should wear a strap on to please my man.
Well, yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I agree.
I wish I had a guy that would allow me to do that. I mean, I would love to try it. Are you kidding? And you
Absolutely.
Got somebody that's willing to let you do it? Oh my God, I'd be off the phone and on my way to the store right now.
I don't think it's gonna work. I don't have a penis. If he wants a penis, then he needs to find a big dick. And if I want a big dick, I need to find a big dick.
No, get a strap on.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be with a man.
He wants to be with me.
I know he loves me.
That's right.
He wants a woman to do it. That's the whole point. It's not that they want to be with a man. It's like eroticism of a woman doing it.
But that's what you put
on the strap on. It's the eroticism of your woman taking you like that. That's the real high. That's the kicker. Okay. That's the whole the submission is that's the thing. Hell, I mean, like I said, I wish I had a man who would let me do it.
Hold on.
And Emily doesn't understand that I love her taco. I love the way it wraps around my jiao nyao. I love it.
What now?
Get back to bed, kid.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Taco.
What are you, 12 years old? What the fuck is that? What are you talking about? Call things what they are. What are you giving things names now? Just say it, man.
He likes the way the pussy feels.
He likes what?
He likes the way the pussy feels. That's what he's saying.
Okay. Like,
anyway,
do
y'all want to swing with us or not? Do you want to swing with us or not?
Because I think that guy there has a huge cock.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we're all black guys.
Yeah, you all are great because, I mean, in my situation, there is no way on God's green earth, and I don't give a damn whether he's satisfied or not, that I am ever willingly going to let another woman put her hands on mine. Period.
Exactly. That's how I feel.
I don't have any, and I mean, I'm quite sure that he feels the same way, and that's just fine because it ain't happening. You know, and if everybody has to be dissatisfied, you know, then everybody's just going to have to be dissatisfied because that ain't happening. I do not share.
But Emily, in your case, you want to be with somebody else and you don't want your husband to be with anybody else. That's not fair. Either it's going to be you and somebody else and your husband with somebody else, so you don't need to do it at all. You need to work things out with your husband. Have you ever thought about using toys?
Well, we tried toys, but, you know, and it satisfies me for a little while. I like when he uses toys. It gets me off. But here's the thing. Like, do they make a strap-on for men?
Well, yeah, they have strap-ons for men. They have
the hollow strap-ons where the man put
his penis in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's used in case he comes quickly or in case, you know, he wants to really please you.
Oh, my man, this is a good thing about my man. He can go for hours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's a good thing.
But because of the conversation tonight, I'm thinking about getting like a double dildo where she can stick it in hers, I can stick it in mine, and we can roll.
Mm-hmm.
That would work.
You know what I'm saying? Bat, bat, bat.
Yeah.
Mm.
That sounds like a good idea. I've actually tried one of those before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
How did it work for you? Did you like it?
Yes.
Yes.
You did like it.
I'm reminiscing now.
Yes.
At the same time that we experimented with that, we actually experimented with beads as well. So.
Oh, man, the beads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something about the beads. Do you pull them out as you're reaching your climax, or you just leave them in there?
We pull them out.
People say when you pull them out, it enhances the climax, and some people say it's better just leaving them in.
Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on the person, but I liked it when they were being pulled out.
Pull them out.
It was
so that enhanced.
Our children are 10, 5, and 6, and our 10-year-old, I always stress to her, you need to check out the man's penis before you marry him, because
okay,
if
now,
he's...
Hold on, that's too young.
No.
That's too young to talk to children about.
You need to have... You're talking about that stuff. You're going to have your...
No.
You're going to have your telephone call terminated. You're talking about underage children? Absolutely not.
No.
No, that's just... She's basically just talking about, you know, that's just like... My mother sat down and talked to me about sex.
I want my children to know about sex at a young age so that they can be free in their sexuality.
Right, but
number one, they're probably experimenting with it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We don't need to know that if there's a 10-year-old child that you're telling these things to, because you never know who's listening. You know, so you know if you
she,
really don't.
She was just saying that she talked to her child about.
Right, telling them about.
I don't talk, but yeah. You know, I don't stress to my 10-year-old child to have sex. I don't condone that. That will not happen in my household. But I do want my child to be informed of the struggles that I have, because if you don't talk to your child and educate them at a young age, then I think that's wrong.
But I think 10 is a little bit too young to be telling your daughter to search out the size of a man's penis. Maybe when she's about 16, you know, that's when they're going through puberty and things like that. Because 10-year-olds, they really don't understand what it means, the size of a man's penis. You know, but those.
I will admit that I am more vocal. My husband gets very upset about me because I'm very vocal about that, and that is something that I am wrong about.
You got to be careful also, because you are going through right now in your relationship, it seems, a little bit of trauma regarding the sexual relationship, and you don't want to bleed that into the relationship with your children. I mean, I don't think you're doing it intentionally.
Yeah,
but I think that you're bleeding that into that's bleeding into the relationship with your children, because what you're expressing is your frustration about this thing to your child, because you're, in your mind you're saying, oh my, I don't want you to go through this. But she's way young for that right now. You know, but I understand you're frustrated. You're frustrated, and it's a hard thing. I can understand, you know, that you want to please your partner. You want your partner to please you, but there's a disconnect. And you're trying to find out what connection is going to be that's going to make you feel good and make you feel happy. I know someone had,
maybe my child would be happy with a 3-inch penis, but mommy is not.
Exactly. And I mean, it's interesting. Somebody in the chat room started saying something about anal sex, whether or not you all had tried it.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love it.
We're not talking about you. We're talking about her, whether or not she loved it, whether it was appropriate for her. Because right now it appears that you're just fine, that your sex life is fabulous. It's her sex life that's suffering. So, is this something that she's enjoying? You know, do you enjoy it?
She stepped back inside real quick. But yeah, we've tried anal a few times, and sometimes I sneak her in there.
I mean, but does she? But does she enjoy it? You know, does it do anything for her? I mean, some women who have difficulty having an orgasm through vaginal sex can have an orgasm through anal sex.
I'm not sure that she has. I'm not sure that she has. She'll have to come out here and let us know.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that might be something that you all, you know, you might consider. I mean, the anus is very sensitive. I mean,
yeah.
It's got a huge amount of nerve endings, and it works as well as it works for a man, you know, to, you know, have anal play, and it's erotic and, you know, and really mind-blowing for them. It's the same as for women. There's no difference.
Right, because that's
same nerve ending.
The man's G-spot is his prostate is back there, and when that's stimulated, it causes a man to get an erection.
Right. Well, I love it, of course. It doesn't take me long to, you know, cream pie that. But other than that, you know, we do normal, you know, quite a bit, or we do it out in public. You know, we like public quite a bit. Have you all ever done that?
Exactly. It's like, are we moving into the TMI section of the program?
Oh my gosh, we're talking about sexual practices. You're talking about sexual practices. Come on.
Yeah, we talk about sexual practices, but you don't have need to know mine. I'll tell you generally, from, you know, an observational sense, a clinical sense about sexual practices, but no, I don't need to share mine. I know that a lot of people do get off on, you know, having sex in public places.
Public, yeah.
But you got to be real. I mean, that's one thing. You have to be really careful. I mean,
because
you do it, and it is the wrong place and the wrong time, and you can find yourself in somebody's jail.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, you know.
Emily, when we've done anal, have you enjoyed it?
It is more pleasurable to me than regular sex.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, I really do want to make my marriage work. I do love my husband, and I want to make him happy, and I do make him happy, but I want to be happy as well.
Mm-hmm. Understandably.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the anal sex issue and asked, you know, if this was something that you really enjoyed, because a lot of women who cannot have, you know, orgasm, you know, vaginally for whatever reason, you know, the penetration is not as deep, or whatever, that they can, you know, have orgasms from anal sex. That, you know, I'm saying there's a lot of nerve endings in the anus, and if you know what you're doing, it can be very, very pleasurable.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that here's the key issue. We need to do more anal sex, and we need to buy a double strap-on.
Double dildo.
A double dildo or whatever, because, you know, I want to be satisfied as well.
Yeah. Well, because if you're not, I mean, you're anything like me, you know, when I am not having, you know, the sex that I want in the quantity that I want, I'm hard to live with.
Yeah, most women are
very hard
We already have a hard time having climaxes. Some women do, and then when you don't get it after you're doing all this work, it does become frustrating, and you do come off balance, and you do have an attitude, and you do, you know, things
mm-hmm.
just turn over. Because when you have orgasms, they're very happy, pleasing time.
Real quick, I'm actually there's some that they talk to me about this stuff sometimes, and I actually think that I kind of know what y'all are talking about, and my dad has shown me sometimes that it is actually better when you actually have it in the butt. Or sometimes in your mouth, especially when my dad does it. He's not too rough because he's only got about a little one. Mine's actually a little bigger. But
delicious.
Yeah, who is
delicious. That? Off. I'm going to cut that off.
Cut that person off. Take him off.
That.
Take him off. Now, number one, because this is a show that's for adults. And for that person who's just on, no children on the show. And no people with childish intent, with little tiny pea brains, those people need to stay off the telephone and perhaps, you know, sit in their room and watch romp. This is not a show for children. Children, stay off the line.
That's true.
freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night.
Yeah, so we basically got way off of the fetishes. They were just a wild couple there.
Wow.
Couple of what?
A baby,
a wild
on the
couple
line.
Of whoever they were. They were having issues. But,
oh, my God, I was here thinking, I was like, my God, what happened to his voice? Because it felt like
I don't
a
know.
Child.
He went from being a man to, I don't know. That was really
I don't know.
What,
was it the same person?
No,
was it a
I was like, wait a minute.
It was the same person, but it was the same people who were on before. I don't know if they put somebody else on the phone or.
Yeah, probably.
What was going on with that?
Funny, that voice. Did you, well, the thing is that, you know, that's why, I, in all honesty, when I'm on, those people who come on and they don't, you know, show their numbers.
Yeah,
they
his,
don't
their
talk.
Number came up though.
Yeah, well, you know what? You get that number that came up, and you turn them in.
Yeah, I have the number.
Yeah, turn them in.
Yeah, but we're down to 4 minutes, and this show has. Really
You're
been,
kidding! It
yeah,
truly went
it's
fast.
Like 3 minutes now. Yeah, it's been a very interesting show, very interesting, and I'm quite sure everybody out there who was listening learned a few things, because I sure did. I most definitely did. And I appreciate everybody who came out. Thank you, Penelope. And my show on the 16th is going to be Does Size Matter? And my special guest co-host for that show is going to be Otto. So, Otto, when you come on, you know it's going to be all about you.
Hello.
Because you're going to have to be in the hot seat that night. And nobody's going to be calling you out of your name.
That's okay.
I will hang up on them.
Good.
But this has been really a fun show. I appreciate that. And looking forward to everybody to come back. That's the 16th of April, and the end of the month I'm having the show, The Real Precious, and that show is going to be very, very intense and basically for mature audience. All my shows are for mature audience, but, you know, once in a while somebody will slip in and have something crazy to say. There's another call on the line, but I don't think I'm going to answer it because the show is almost over. And I want to say thanks again, Penelope. Thanks, Otto. Thanks, everybody in the chat room, 8MO Talk guests, Jack
That's
Sully,
me.
Everybody. Have a good night. And see you guys here on the 16th of April.
Yep. All right. Thanks for having us, Delicious.
Anytime. Anytime. Right. You know that. All right, everybody. Have a good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.